If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
From the heartland of this great country, at the crossroads, comes the new Wise Conservatism radio show, heard only through ConservativeNationMedia.com. Your infidel host, Robert Garding, comes to you from West Central Indiana, one of only two states in America who runs their budget in the black. You are listening to Hour 1 of the show, and now, here's your host, Robert Garding. I got myself all prepared for this one today. I have all my recordings done the way that I wanted them to be. It's actually fairly warm outside. It's like, you know, I think somewhere around 40 degrees, which is about 60 degrees warmer than it was about a week ago at this time. So it's a lot nicer outside. My little heater inside my studio actually works to the point where it's nice in here today. Last week, I had to do the show out of my bedroom because it was just way too cold out here. But we made it through the bad stuff, and we're on to some better stuff now as all the snow is melting and everything else. From TPNN News on Sunday night, this last Sunday night, it came about another thing our so-called president is doing by executive order against the Constitution. The Obama administration appears to be testing the waters of public opinion as they appointed or announced two new executive orders concerning gun control on Friday. Though this administration has remained hostile to the issues of gun rights, the Obama administration has maintained a sort of hands-off approach for nearly a year as the fever pitch for increased gun control laws in the nationally has faded from public discussion. And that was their plan, by the way, so that it would just drop off the radar. However, with the announcement of the two new executive orders, Obama may be signaling that he's willing to act unilaterally and perhaps unconstitutionally to create and implement gun control policies. The Obama administration announced the new executive orders that would allow the federal database access to mental health records by offering an exemption to existing privacy laws that protect patient privacy. Furthermore, the executive orders clarify that citizens involuntarily committed to inpatient and outpatient facilities can be prohibited from firearm ownership. Of course, such provisions are likely to rile the gun rights and gun right advocates who note that the Second Amendment offers no such allowances, but only states that the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And I'm sure that most of you heard this last week that Chicago now, a judge has ruled that their anti-firearm policy there is unconstitutional. So we're going to have to wait and see what happens when it comes to that. And hello, Michelle. The White House touted the results of President Obama's executive actions concerning gun rights, 23 edicts issued last year, claiming that federal agencies have provided 1.2 million records identifying people who are unsuitable for gun ownership. And how much you want to bet a bunch of them are conservatives? It just goes to show that Obama, no matter what the federal mandates are or what is going on or what he thinks we need to do, doesn't matter what we think, it's what he thinks needs to be done, and that's the way it's going to go no matter what until we can get rid of this idiot in the White House and all of the idiots that follow him in Congress and the rest of the United States. Welcome to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show this January the 11th of 2014. I'm glad you guys are here. the thing that most Americans don't realize, and none of the politicians in Washington want you to realize, is that we have not one and not two things that we are in the process that are in the process of destroying America. The forces against America now are manyfold, and it is time that we as a people start to realize that when the media or Obama or Washington elite say that something is a crisis like gun control or climate change, which is nothing more than their name change for global warming, that there's always going to be something in the background waiting to take over as the new crisis should the American people start keying on something the administration is doing wrong. That is how they work. They keep an eye on what we're doing. They know what we're doing. They know what we're going up against and what we don't want them to be doing. And if we start doing it, then they have another crisis already ready to hit us with, take our minds off of all of this. It's like the kids nowadays say, yeah, I know, right? But we have to keep this in the back of our minds when the next crisis comes, that no matter what, the liberals and the moderate rhino Republicans will always have a backup plan to get what they want. And there is a lot that has happened that gives credence to what I have just told you. The sad part of this is no matter how many facts we give you to show just what our politicians are doing to us, the lemmings that follow them won't let the facts get in their way. The leaders they follow will come up with another crisis like gun control or terror attempts somewhere that later proves to be false, and off they go again. The Colorado theater shooting, Sandy Hook, anything to get them back on the gun control path again. But that is what we as Americans need to realize. We don't just have to worry about guns here. We have to worry about communism and socialism and other things that harbor terrorists and groups like the Muslim Brotherhood and work to bring them here in the United States. That is what the government is doing, mostly against the wishes of the people, if only the people knew about it. And I would say probably about 95% of the people don't realize that that is what the government is doing. They will get all up in arms about something. Then all of a sudden there's another crisis that is hit. And 95% of the people, I would think, do not even realize that this new crisis, if the government or the media had kept quiet about it, would not be a crisis at all. Nobody would know about it. Nobody would think about it. And the government would not have to worry about it to make new laws to push on us. That is the way they work. But what shows like this one and like the Daily Roll Call and all the other ones here on Conservative Nation Media and then all the other conservative shows that are true conservative shows on Blog Talk Radio or anywhere here in the United States, you know, like Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Mark Levin, any of these people, they're trying to get us to know what is going on, what the government is doing to take our minds off of what is going on, and why we have to keep ourselves focused in on what is really happening. Because if we don't, we're going to lose this country. It's one of the things that really drives me nuts is that we'll be sitting there talking about something that is really, really important to the security of this nation, and it's something that goes completely against what Obama and the left wants, and all of a sudden we've got a new crisis, and whatever we're worried about suddenly just drops off the radar. You never hear about it again unless somebody like me or somebody comes along and tries to bring it up. Now, me doesn't really matter. Like I said before, I don't have enough of an audience to really make that much of a difference. Although I know that if I'm saying something, somebody will say something about what I said and they'll say it to somebody else who doesn't listen, and then maybe it'll get out a little bit that way. But what we need are politicians who will get this kind of word out, who has that big microphone that they can talk to millions and millions of people, and millions of people will hear them, and maybe then things will start to turn around. America needs that. We need people like Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and some of these others that have started showing up to give us a reprieve from what Washington is trying to hand us daily. You know, they tell us things like our national debt is going down. No, it's not. They're telling us that unemployment is going down. No, it's not. It might fluctuate. They're now telling us it's somewhere around 7%. No, it's not. Look at the U6 numbers of the government, and it'll tell you it's somewhere around 14%. But that is a number they don't want you to know about. Obama especially doesn't want you to know about. He wants his presidency to be a success, even though it's far from it. He still wants to make the people believe and history believe that he has been a success and that there is what we have against him is just racial or something like that. No, what we have against him is his policies and his failure to be a leader this country needed. To let you in on a little secret here, and those who love America are about to roll out the big guns, and that is one of the things the conservative nation media is getting ready to do. We can't bring serious anti-communists like Joe McCarthy, Ronald Reagan, and Barry Goldwater back onto the air, but we think we found the next best thing. And it starts next Thursday, January the 16th, and that's coming up this coming week, folks. Today's the 11th, so it's like 5 days away. This is really going to be fun. Patriot writer, broadcaster, and conservative intellectual Lisa Richards is joining conservativenationmedia.com on the 16th of January at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, with Rock and Roll Politics. And I like the name already. I love rock and roll. If William F. Buckley were around today, Lisa would be his favorite broadcaster, and she'll be yours too. Lisa Richards, Rock and Roll Politics, starting next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. From my project on exposing the Muslim Brotherhood here in America, I found some things about the MB in Tennessee. Leaders of the Islamic centers and mosques in the state are these: the Murfreesboro Osama Muhammad Balul, who is a graduate of Al-Azhar University. This one has a degree in Dawaha. I think I'm probably mispronouncing a lot of these, but I don't care. D-A-apostrophe-A-W-A-H, which is the proselytizing for Islam and upholds Al-Zahar's belief that the propagation of Islam and Sharia is a complete way of life. And that's pretty much what I've been trying to say. Islam is not a religion. It is a way of life. In the Islamic Center of Nashville, we have Imam Mohammed Ahmed. He also is a graduate of Al-Azhar University and has ties to the ISNA, which is the Islamic Society of North America, which, if you remember from my shows the past few weeks, it is just what I said, the Islamic Society of North America, which also is the Muslim Brotherhood and has approved of the Egyptian police conducting virginity tests on female protesters in Tahrir Square during the Arab Spring. And I bet there's a lot of people who didn't know this. He speaks of honor killings and alludes to their happening here in the United States. The prior leadership of this center was Yemeni cleric Abdul Mohammed, who hailed from a radical Brooklyn, New York mosque. Al-Farouk, the same mosque attended by the blind sheikh convicted in the 1993 World Trade Center bombings. It is the Islamic Center where Carlos Bledsoe was radicalized and later was convicted of killing a U.S. military recruiter, Andy Long. And last, the Islamic Center of Tennessee is led by Abdul Rahman Ibn Essa Chow. This one is a graduate of Islamic University of Medina in Saudi Arabia. From a speech titled, "Why Do We Worship Allah?" He believes everyone was born a Muslim in the first place. He believes there is no God worthy of being worshipped except for Allah. That is not all, folks. And the liberal left you will see in this one. The new Islamic doctrine called the Tariya permits creative lying. And that kind of reminds you of the liberal left. That's what I was saying. From the file in what in the What a Cop Needs to Know URL of Daily Roll Call comes this one, written by Raymond Ibrahim, Stonegate Institute, on February 28th of 2012. Says, perhaps you have heard of Taqiyya, the Muslim doctrine that allows lying in certain circumstances, primarily when Muslim minorities live under infidel authority or anywhere here in the United States, folks. Now, meet Tariya, and it's spelled a little bit different. The other one was spelled T-A-Q-I-Y-Y-A, and this one is spelled T-A-W-R-I-Y-A. It's a doctrine that allows lying in virtually all circumstances, including to fellow Muslims and swearing to Allah. Now, that kind of should let you guys know that they don't care about the truth, no matter what. But this one allows fellow Muslims, lying to fellow Muslims and swearing to Allah, provided the liar is creative enough to articulate his conceit in a way that is true to him. Though Tariya is technically not new, as shall be seen, as part of Islamic law and tradition for centuries, it is certainly new to most non-Muslims, hence the need for this exposition of the word new in the title. Authoritative Hans Weir Arabic English Dictionary describes Tariya as, quote, hiding, concealment, dissemblance, dissimulation, hypocrisy, equivocation, ambiguity, double entendre, illusion. Conjugates of the tribal root of the word W-R-Y appear in the Quran in the context of hiding and concealing something, and that's e.g. 531-726. As a doctrine, double entendre best describes Tariya function. According to past and present Muslim scholars, several documented in the article that I got this from, is when a speaker says something that means one thing to the listener, though the speaker means something else, and his words technically support his alternative meaning. For example, if someone declares, I don't have a penny in my pocket, most listeners will assume the speaker has no money on him, though he might have dollar bills, just literally no pennies. Otherwise, a friend asks you, do you know where Mike is? You do, but prefer not to divulge. So you say, no, I don't know. But you keep in mind another Mike whose whereabouts you really do not know about. That is how they'll lie to you. All these are legitimate according to Sharia law, and do not constitute lying, which is otherwise forbidden in Islam, except for in these three cases: lying in war, lying to one's spouse. Now, you got to remember this one, because I'm coming up on the way Sharia law thinks of what we are doing to women, and we're exploiting them, but they're not. Lying to one's spouse and lying in order to conceal people. For these, Sharia permits Muslims to lie freely without the strictures of Tariya, which is without the need for creativity. As for other instances, the words of Sheikh Muhammad Salad al-Munajjid, based on scholarly consensus, Tariya is permissible under two conditions. One, that the words used fit the hidden meaning, and two, that it does not lead to an injustice as defined by Sharia, of course, not Western standards. Otherwise, it is permissible even for Muslims to swear when lying through Tariya. Munajjid, for example, cites a man who swears to Allah that he can only sleep under a roof. When the man is caught sleeping atop a roof, he exonerates himself by saying, by roof, I meant the open sky. This is legitimate. After all, Munajjid adds, Quran 21:32 refers to the sky as a roof. So we have to start learning things like this, because there, no matter what we have coming along in the United States, if we've got Muslim Brotherhood, they're lying to us no matter what. And we won't think they are because of their ideals of lying and telling the truth are totally different from us. Their ideas of lying is just, you know, we would still consider lying even though they don't. Here is a recent example of Taraya in action, because it is a great sin for Muslims to acknowledge Christmas. This sheikh counsels Muslims to tell Christians, "I wish you the best," whereby the latter might understand it to mean you're wishing them the best in terms of their Christmas celebration. But here the wily sheikh giggles as he explains, "By saying I wish you the best, you mean in your heart, I wish you become a Muslim." This is sick, and the whole bloody society believes in this. The bad part is I can see the liberal left in this too. They will lie to us knowing that they are telling, that they are saying what they are saying is not the truth, but they justify the lie by saying that, for instance, a lower budget that will spend down the amounts of money that they spend will work, but only over a period of 10 years or so. And they know that this will never happen because they say it with the conviction that it is true. In this way, they can lie and make it the truth, after all. And what the Muslims do, and they, like the Muslims over Christians or even Americans, do we still want to accept them into our country? I sure as hell know I don't, unless they want to assimilate into our society instead of trying to make us go the other way. I think that they need to go back to where they came from, unless they completely assimilate into this society and lose theirs. America's future is at stake, and sadly, this is just one of the many wars that we are having waged against us, and I kind of went a little bit over on that, so we will be right back after these messages.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. Every child deserves to have access to books because children who grow up with books invariably do better in life than children who do not. How do I choose a book? Is it the cover? Sometimes it's the cover. Sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual, so it's a combination of those two. The first book I remember was Captain's Courageous. When I finished that book, I had become so involved with these characters. So here's the thing. If a book's really, really impressing me and the writing is really, really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books, if it's really, really well done, that ending, that last thought should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Vince Gill for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Real life's not a song. In less than it takes to play my latest hit, someone will be killed or injured in an alcohol-related crash. So next time you're out with someone who's been drinking, don't let them take the wheel. Take the keys instead. Sad stories make great songs, but happy endings make better lives. That's why friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hi. This is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on ConservativeNationMedia.com.
Remember me saying a short time ago about how the White House and the Democrats, along with the GOP liberal moderates, always have another war for us to fight just to keep us off the things that really matter to this country and her survival? Well, one of the old standards that has been disproven time and time again, even by their own words, is back to haunt us and take our eyes off the many balls that we should be keeping focused on. You know, the Muslim Brotherhood, Islam, President Obama's policies, Obamacare, the war on terror, poverty, immigration, our open borders. In other words, everything I talk about on this show from week to week, the latest is the old standby, global warming. And they're back to that one, folks. They aren't hiding it under the new name climate change anymore. They are calling it what they really believe. Folks, this is the latest. This latest one is just as stupid. And the White House is now saying global warming exists because the weather has been so cold. From Breitbart.com comes this. When the White House released a video on Wednesday assuring Americans that the extreme cold freezing the nation does not does not disprove global warming, that the U.S. is extremely cold because the planet is increasingly hot. And President Obama's science and technology advisor, Dr. John Holdren, said, if you've been hearing that extreme cold spells like the one we're having in the United States now disprove global warming, don't believe it. No single weather episode can either prove or disprove global climate changes. Now, chances are this science and technology advisor of Obama's has his job because he will say and do just what the president and the left wants him to say. That seems to be the only prerequisite that someone has to have to get a job with this White House anyway. Now, folks, global warming or climate change or however you want to call this idiocy has been something the liberal left and anyone who will believe this crap has been hitting us with since the early 20th century, 100 years ago, always with dire predictions about how this earth will be totally uninhabitable in 30 to 50 years, and always it turns out to be wrong. And I am in the process here of trying to download something else that I had forgotten. I left out one of my advertisements, the sections that I have to work on, and I'm still working on it, trying to get it to come in. It won't, so hopefully I can get that to come in and maybe get it to work for me, but I'm not exactly sure about it here. But I'm still working to get that in here. Any one of us who lived, going back to what I was talking about before, any one of us who lived through the 70s will remember the commercials of trains, you know, coming down a railroad track with a child standing on it. And then an announcer telling us that global warming is like this train. It will kill us someday if we do not move out of the way or change the way we are doing things here on Earth. People, we have spent billions on doing the things they have told us that we have to do, and yet the dire predictions of our demise always stay just the same, like we haven't done anything to save our planet. For one thing, this planet is now cleaner environmentally than it has been in ages, and now the environmental police of the left are trying to tell us that it is so cold because the planet is so hot, telling us that the ice in our freezers is there because it is so hot in there. Come on, folks. When are we going to stop taking these idiots at their words? No matter how many times they are disproved or how many times their techniques for getting their data is debunked, they will always come back, and they always believe, and they are always believed to the tune of billions spent on what they say is coming our way. Remember, years ago, they were predicting that by the year 2000, this Earth would be a desolate place because mankind and fossil fuels emissions were going to make it so. The year 2000 came and went over a decade ago, and things are just like they were back in the 70s, and this includes the global warming fanatics who are just not happy unless they, like the government, has all kinds of money from other people to spend on silly and frivolous things. Things that are not spent on would leave money for things that are really important, you know, if we didn't spend this money on that stuff, and put them out of a job, and that isn't put them out of a job that isn't needed in the first place. folks, we have cleaned up our atmosphere a lot. I remember in the 60s and the 70s how it would take a cold day in hell to get a photo out of L.A. with blue skies showing in it. And even on the days it was more like a brownish blue. Now you see photos all the time of blue skies in L.A., and we get nothing about how much better it is than it was then, only that we are killing this planet. This planet was made by a supreme being who is God and who knows what we as humans could have done and could do. And he knew that he had to make things to counter what we would do. Green plants turn pollution into oxygen, what kind, you know, that kind of thing. And the global warming freaks have changed their stories at times, have passed to try to convince people that it really happens. Back in the 1920s, they were saying the next ice age was coming and we were all going to die. Back in the 50s, they were saying that the earth was warming and we were all going to die. Back in the 70s, they were saying that we were all going to die because the planet would be uninhabitable by the year 2000. Back in 2000, we were being told that the earth was warming to a dangerous level and that it was warmer than it had ever been, even though proof to the contrary was out there that the earth had been warmer. In 2010s, we are now being told that global warming is going to kill us in a few short years because we have already gone past the point of no return. And now the polar vortex, which is actually a hoax perpetuated by the liberal media to further its agenda of climate change and global warming, Rush Limbaugh told listeners Monday. According to the show's transcript, Limbaugh said, "The left, the media, everyone is using the Arctic cold front in the Midwest and the Northeast as a ploy to lie to the people." Politico first reported, "We have a record-breaking cold snap that in many parts of this country, and right on schedule, the media have to come up with a way to make it sound like it's completely unprecedented," the conservative talker said, "because they've got to find a way to attach this to the global warming agenda." And they have. It's called the polar vortex. The dreaded polar vortex. And I guarantee you the next time we have a snap like this one, whether it be warm or cold, they will come up with a new name that sounds ominous and will be attached to this global warming crime that they have hit the public with. And did I say crime? Yes, I did. Listen, we have had monitoring stations set up to monitor these temperatures and tell us just what the climate is doing. And when that didn't work, they started setting them up where they would give them readings they were after. I did a post on my blog about 4 or 5 years ago about this and the different ways they would set stations up to get the readings they wanted. Like, the policies for setting up these stations were laid out to give temperatures that were completely away from anything that could change the temperatures from what they actually were. Research that I did on that, I found that they had their stations on asphalt roofs, near the exhaust fans of air conditioners, in the middle of blacktop parking lots where the exhaust and heat from the sun would bake these things. When this didn't work, they changed the name of global warming to climate change, and the lies and distortions continued, bilking the people out of billions of dollars on something that at best is cyclical and has always been going on since the dawn of time. Weather gets warmer and then it cools and cycles, and mankind has nothing to do with that, for crying outside here, folks. Some of the warmest weather this earth has ever had was way before mankind had the technology to do any kind of effect on it. So when are we going to stop falling for this bilge crap that keeps coming out of the mouths of the Al Gores and the White House and their cronies? Nothing we will ever do will stop these idiots from spelling out our doom if we don't do what they want, they want us to do. Nothing. And to prove that, look at these things that we have done to better this earth because of their predictions, and still they spout out their bile. The sooner we realize this, the better off we will be, and the sooner we can start spending our hard-earned cash on things that are really important, that really will make a difference, like saving this country from the liberal invasion of lies and tyranny. The sooner we can do this, the better off everyone on this planet will be. We just have to realize this, folks. And I went way over my time, and we will be right back after a few messages. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds, starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution where America always wins. And you are listening to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show. The call-in number for you listeners out there is 718-305-7176. And I have been trying ever since I first mentioned it to download the PSAs that I have for my 30-minute break, which I kind of overshot by a bunch of minutes, and it will not download. I cannot get it in there, so I'm going to have to forego it and hope Duke doesn't get mad, but I'm going to have to forego that one. So we've got things like that I needed to put in two PSAs and a thing talking about Inside Tennessee. So, and it won't download. I can't get it to come in, so sorry about that, but technology, I guess, won over that one. So we will get back to what I was talking about. It says, I'm beginning to wonder just how we can take the Democrats seriously every time they say something anymore. They say they are for the military. When they do something to cut spending for our veterans and then get caught, they make up a lie to cover up what they did, trying to hide it. Then they come up with something else that spells it out so plainly, yet we continue to believe them. And the thing I'm talking about is like this time, this one. Next time Democrats try to tell us they are not against the military and are for the United States, remember this one. Senate Democrats have now killed an amendment from Senator Kelly Ayotte, a Republican of New Haven or New Hampshire, that would have paid for unemployment benefits for many Americans and replaced recent cuts to veterans' pensions by closing a tax code loophole that allows illegal aliens to access to the refundable child tax credit. The vote failed, of course, on Thursday, 54-42, with all Republicans but Senator Dean Heller of Nevada voting for the amendment and against Senate Majority Leader Senator Harry Reid and Senator Joe Manchin, who actually crossed the aisle to vote alongside the Republicans in favor of that amendment. And that's something that it's been ages since I've heard of Harry Reid voting with some Republicans unless they came over to his side. The amendment would have been to the unemployment insurance extension bill S-1845. On the Senate floor while debating the amendment, Ayotte argued her amendment is one that would fix fraud in our tax code that really came to light in 2011 in a Treasury Inspector General report that said what it would simply require is those who seek the additional child tax credit to file a Social Security number just like those who seek the earned income tax credit in this country, Ayotte said. And why is that? Because the investigations of this tax refund that people received found that they were claiming it for people who were, number one, not authorized to work in this country, or they were claiming it and were still claiming it, and secondly, for children that might not even exist. Now, here's where it gets really wild, people. Ayotte argued on the Senate floor that her amendment would pay for 3 months of unemployment insurance for American workers for this issue that we have before this chamber. It would pay for a fix to the military retirement cuts to the COLA that also impacted our wounded warriors that were done in a most that was unfair, she added. Members of both sides of the aisle have come together and to say we should fix that and say it's unfair. What else do we do? It would reduce the deficit. And what I hear from the majority leader is I hear, we've heard that idea before. Well, we may have heard it before, but we've not been allowed to vote on it. Well, I made the case for the amendment. Now, here's where it gets really good. Senator Democrat Barbara Boxer argued against it, and here's what she said. Now, this idea of going after children is one of the worst ideas I have ever heard, and I am shocked. And she was out there shaking her finger and shaking her hands all over the place. She says, I am shocked. You're going to hurt children. You're going to take away food out of their mouths. At another point, Boxer called on senators to support Senator Majority Leader Harry Reid. She says, let us support our leader, she said. Let us work through the weekend to come up with a plan. I think the majority leader has one. Soon after, Boxer criticized Republicans for wanting to vote on the amendment. So she says, all they do on that side is complain that their amendments are so important. For crying out loud, Ms. Boxer, the children that she was talking about may not exist, or they're in another country. They don't deserve these things, for crying out loud. They're not American citizens, and they're in another country. God, I swear these people are so idiotic, and they think they're just telling the truth about everything that's going on. But, you know, what I was saying is she's saying that the Republicans are always complaining that their amendments are so important. Well, isn't that exactly what you do? Don't sound so holy and all-seeing. You are wrong. We are right. Stop urinating on Americans and telling us it is rain. I think the left is imploding, and yet it scares me that a lot of people still do not see what they are doing. It's really a scary thing to behold, I think. I'd like to let you in on a little secret. Those of us who love America are about to roll out the big guns. Nope, that's the wrong one, and I've got to bring it out here. I've already done that one. I just didn't even put it in here. So let me go to the right one. Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conversation, right-wing politics, American history, and hanger playing on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And I don't know. Boy, I'm sorry. I got rather agitated at that last one. That was just downright freaking stupid. I mispronounced her name, but we get the point on that one. The Senate is poised to confirm Robert L. Wilkins to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit. The final battle in a bruising war between the White House and Senate Republicans over the second highest court in the land. The D.C. Circuit deals with cases against federal government. Anyone who has a complaint with a regulatory agency or wants to challenge an excess of the federal government usually winds up there. And this is something that we need to realize. Democratic Senator Charles Schumer of New York, in a speech on March 10th, in which he attacked Republican-led filibusters against President Obama's nominees, and he said it was a specious, S-P-E-C-I-O-U-S, he said, we will fill up the D.C. circuit one way or another. In November, Obama effectively gained control of the 11-member court when Senator Majority Leader Harry Reid triggered the nuclear option, reducing the threshold needed to stop the filibuster from 60 votes to a simple majority. Within weeks, Obama announced nominees Patricia Millett and Cornelia Pickard were confirmed for the court. Wilkins' confirmation will likely be completed by the Senate no later than February, given the court its full complement of judges. Republican Senator Pat Toomey T-O-O-M-E-Y of Pennsylvania said that because the D.C. Circuit Court dealt with cases related to the Environmental Protection Agency, he had concerns about the nominees, what the nominees had said about coal and utilities industries that are so important to this state. But his concerns and Pennsylvania's won't matter after the change in filibuster rules, because the next nominee to the D.C. court won't need my vote, Toomey said in a Pennsylvania Society meeting. Of the 8 full-time judges on the court before these latest confirmations, not including judges on senior status, there was a 4-4 split between Democratic appointees and Republican appointees. Hans von Eikowski, senior legal fellow at Heritage Foundation, told Newsmax, "Now there are 6 Democratic appointees and 4 Republican appointees, and there will soon be 7 Democrats and only 4 Republicans." He underscored the priority in the White House that the White House placed on taking control of the D.C. Court of Appeals. Among the key cases in which the court ruled against the Obama administration, the court invalidated a rule applying to the Dodd-Frank financial reform law, overruled a burdensome Environmental Protection Agency rule regulating cross-state power plant emissions, and ruled President Obama's sham recess appointments to the National Labor Relations Board unconstitutional, he said. Citing the lineup of the court as the Senate prepares to take up Wilkins' nomination, Spakowski concluded, "All these new Obama appointees are guaranteed to vote on Obama's side. They would never have voted to override the Environmental Protection Agency or Obama's National Labor Relations Board appointments." There is one more reason why the White House and the Senate Democrats have placed such a priority on controlling the D.C. Circuit: its history as a stepping stone to the highest court in the land, the Supreme Court. 4 of the present 9 justices of the High Court, Antonin Scalia, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Clarence Thomas, and Chief Justice John Roberts, were previously judges of the D.C. Circuit. A 5th Justice Elena Kagan was nominated to the D.C. Court by President Bill Clinton, but was never confirmed. 2 Chief Justices of the 20th century, Fred M. Vinson and Warren Burger, were previously served on the D.C. Circuit also. So we will be right back after these messages.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCS for automation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person." I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays, 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
Okay, it seems that they just can't help themselves. They have got that, and they have given me another crisis war that they have to be, that has to be declared, must be looked at, to take over our minds and attentions off of Obama and his policies again. Here it is, as Barack Obama scrambles to eviscerate key sections of his own signature health care law, he and other Democrats are trying to shift voters' focus to another issue, and this time it is income inequality. Unfortunately, the solutions they advocate are pitifully inadequate or painfully perverse. In reality, any politician who believes in the liberal way of doing things is totally perverted. That is the key word for the way that they think here, folks. Perverse or perverted just about sums it all up. Start with the minimum wage, which some Democrats see as an election-winning wedge issue in 2014. True, raising the minimum wage polls well, but does anybody really care much about it? I really don't think they do. If it's not mentioned or brought up in the media or by President Obama or any of the others in our government, nobody would probably think about it. Few minimum wage earners are heads of households, for one thing. Many more are teenagers earning spare cash. Most economists agree that a higher minimum wage costs some low-skilled workers their jobs, and the economic redistribution it produces from fast food consumers to fast food employees is pretty minimal, even though it would do its part in raising prices. But another Democratic policy is to continue extending unemployment benefits. The intellectual argument for this is stronger. Ordinarily, extended benefits tend to discourage the unemployed from looking for work. Their skills atrophy and finding a job later gets harder. But in the current new normal economy with record long-term unemployment, there simply hasn't been enough job openings for many of the unemployed. And essentially, that's true if you only decide that you're going to go after one certain type of job, but the jobs are out there. Believe me, they are there. They might not be what you want, but making $6 to $8 an hour is a hell of a lot better than making none, in my opinion. many Republicans look open to a compromise on this issue, and in any case, the redistributionist will be only minor and, if robust economic growth returns, temporary. One Democrat argues for greater change is the University of Arizona political scientist Lane Kenworthy. He believes the nation is and should be headed to a European-style welfare state with the government taxing and spending 10% more of gross domestic product than at present. Kenworthy would transform unemployment benefits into a wage insurance, which is what they're trying to change the name of it. It's not trying to change the name of unemployment benefits to wage insurance, which would start early education at age one and would vastly expand the earned income tax credit. That's progressive economic redistribution, but with a catch. For as Kenworthy admits, you can't get the money for this just by raising taxes on very high earners. The math simply just doesn't work. So he looks to a federal consumption tax like Europe's value-added taxes. That would mean shifting from the current progressive income tax towards a more regressive European-style tax regime with middle-income workers subsidizing non-workers. Other professionals proposals floated by Democrats such as Senator Elizabeth Warren's calls for substantially increased Social Security benefits would have similarly perverse effects or perverted effects. This is something that we just have to stop looking at. After all, who is paying for all these benefits that the Democrats and a lot of the Republicans are going after. It isn't the government, let me clue you in on this, it's the American who brings home a paycheck and has taxes taken out of it. Many have already noticed that they are bringing home less nowadays because more in taxes is being taken out. And that started the first of the year with 40,000 new taxes that are all of a sudden on the books. This trend, which started a long time ago, has gained momentum under the Obama regime and will continue to gain more momentum as it continues to be successful in doing this to the American people. This is something that we have to stand up to and vote to stop. Because if we don't do it, it will continue to get worse and worse. And mark my words, folks, we're going to start seeing and start noticing that we're not bringing home anywhere near the money that we had before. And, you know, I'm already noticing this. I'm not actually bringing home a bad paycheck. You know, if I actually was bringing home what I could have brought home 4 years ago. But what I'm bringing home now for the same amount of money that I'm making now, if I'd have been making the same amount of money then, I'd have been bringing home a hell of a lot more money then than I am now, because the taxes have started eroding away what I'm bringing home to be able to give to my family so that we can survive. Government doesn't think about stuff like this. They don't care whether we survive or not, just so long as we have a paycheck they can tax. And we have to stop. We have to stop and realize that the government doesn't care about us. The only way they care about us is to make sure that we continue working so that they can continue taxing us and they can continue taking our money, which they, by the way, believe is theirs. It's not our money. They believe it's theirs. That is another kind of politician that we definitely need to get rid of, because the ones that are there that believe that all this money is theirs, they are the ones that are causing the problems here, not the politicians who believe in smaller government and lower taxes. This, to me, should be a very sure sign of what we have heading our direction here in the United States and what we have to do to change the direction that we are heading. And we have to start voting the people out who won't do what we know they need to do, who won't do what the Constitution tells them to do. And we may stop and think that our vote is just one vote, but, you know, if I do that, that's one vote, but mark my words, I won't be the only one doing that if I did. And it's getting to the point where more and more people are doing that because they'd rather just stay home and vote somebody into office that they don't want. And they don't stop to think that when they stay home, they're actually giving the other side or our enemies to the United States a better chance of staying in office or getting elected to office. I just don't understand the way people think sometimes. We have reached the top of the hour, and we will be right back with the second hour of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show on conservativenationmedia.com. We will be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
My name is Tom Thornton.
And my name is Cindy Thornton. We've been married 38 years. We're retired, and this is how we live united.
We play golf and we travel, but we also decided we were going to give to and volunteer with United Way at our community free health clinic.
I do the nursing at the clinic.
I work the front office, checking in patients, greeting them, making them feel comfortable.
United Way is how we contribute, because we know our time and money are going to the right places, the places that need it most and implement it best.
Judging by the thank yous we get at the clinic, I'd say we're doing the right thing with our retirement, too.
We even get a few bless yous. It's incredible.
We're Tom and Cindy Thornton. We volunteer at our community free health clinic, so we don't just wear the shirt.
We live it.
Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, everybody. Rachel Ray here. Nothing puts a bigger smile on my face than cooking up a big meal for family and friends. But there's not enough room at my table for the 17 million kids in America who are struggling with hunger. These children, that's one out of every five, often have to skip meals because there's just nothing to eat in the kitchen. Yet there's more than enough healthy, nutritious food produced right here in America to feed every last hungry child. If only there was a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks collects surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across our country. But they can't do it without your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America at your local food bank and at feedingamerica.org. Together, we can solve hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America.
From the heartland of America in West Central Indiana comes the new Wise Conservatism radio show with your host, Robert Girding. We are still considered traitors to the Obama nation, especially since we broadcast from one of only two states that run their budgets in the black, conservative style. Take that, Obama. You are listening to Hour 2 of the show, where we continue working for you to give you the truth that is not told by the lamestream media and the Obama bots. We are being broadcast to you through Conservative Nation Media on Blog Talk Radio. And now, here again is your host, Robert Girding.
You know, it is amazing that here in America, that we here in America have the knowledge of what is going on in Washington, and yet no matter what we say about it, the Washington elite of the liberal persuasion and the liberal-minded Republicans keep on doing what they are doing. To hell with what we, the people who have been speaking out a lot of lately, say. I hear more and more stories on television and on the Internet about how badly Obama is doing when it comes to leading this country and how the world thinks the same thing. We are fighting to retrieve ourselves from the abyss that Obama and the left are taking us over, but we still don't have the gumption to rise up and take out of office the ones that are doing this to us. Maybe it is the American ideal that everyone deserves a second chance, even though the chance that was being sought is to destroy us. And my only question on that is, why are we allowing this to go on? I really don't understand. Looking on the website Daily Roll Call again, I found another Muslim Islamic type document that talks about how Islam is the only thing that will end the exploitation of women by the capitalist system. Now, I saw this and almost fell out of my chair. Here is what the Bismillahi al-Rahman al-Rahim says about this. It's plain to see that the Muslim women today bears the brunt of the attack on Islam. The capitalist West spares no effort in attacking and vilifying the Islamic rulings related to women, such as the dress code under the guise of liberating the oppressed Muslim woman. Indeed, the West has defined women's freedom as being able to appear semi-nude in public. So here in the Western countries, we see the call for women's freedom and human rights for what it is, a call to exploit women. Now, this is from a Muslim document. Who doesn't see that this call to expose one's nakedness is only directed at and only answered by women? It is a call to reduce women into sex objects that solely exist as eye candy for men to enjoy. globally, the shallowness of these calls is evident that when we see our sisters' labor being exploited to manufacture products for the capitalist elite, while her family and children, the future of the nation, are left neglected. In Jakarta, Indonesia, more than 90% of laborers in factories are women, and 90% of them are not allowed the rights to breastfeed their babies, resulting in malnutrition. And in Bangladesh, women constitute 80% of the garment factory workforce, which is a $19 billion a year industry. Simply to provide the bare necessities of life, these women toil in appalling conditions, made public by the recent Rana Plaza tragedy, where over 1,000 people were killed when the factory collapsed due to lax safety standards. And this is empowerment through employment that the capitalist states offer to our sisters. Do they only offer freedom from modesty and not freedom from economic misery? Now, this is from, like I said, the Muslim document that I had named, the Bismillahi al-Rahman al-Rahim. And my idea on this is this outrageous situation continues with the blessing and full participation of Muslim rulers who have sold this ummah to the great highest bidder while slavishly dancing to the tune of their Western masters. Although it is the capitalist elite who are ultimately behind this system, and this is what this thing goes on to say, it is the Muslim rulers who are from measly commission facilitate this shameless situation of the enslavement and exploitation of our brothers and sisters by foreign corporations. The capitalist system's free market economy has created a modern-day slave market of women in the Muslim lands where our sisters are forced to work in horrendous conditions. Now, the thing that caught my attention here was where it said that women here in America are supposed to be exploited. I don't know many women who would agree with this one. As in the Islamic faith, they have to keep totally covered up, no matter how hot it is outside, and they cannot look at another man who is not their husband. If they do, the husband can get her stoned to death because of a look or a comment. To me, that is exploitation of a woman, taking all her rights away from her to do anything that she would want to do. Personally, I am around many women during the day, and none of them walk around naked or in any way close to naked. I don't run around all day excited about it. This whole idea that women here are being exploited because our system allows them to be free to do whatever they want within the limits of the law. And if they don't do what they are supposed to do, they are not taken out into the center of town and stoned to death by all the people of the town. To me, that is freedom, whereas Islam and Muslim laws on women are ones that are exploitative because they take all the women's freedoms away for the purpose of keeping men in charge. And, you know, watching the Islam way of life, they try to make it seem like the women are important to them, but the only thing they are important to them are to subjugate them and keep them pregnant to bear more boys for the Islamic faith, way of life. So Western women are being exploited? I think not. They are free to do whatever they want. If they want to run around in bikinis, it is their right. At least the Western civilized woman has that right, and all other ones that they enjoy here, like being able to run for Congress or Senate or governor or even president. In Islam, they can't do that. Can they? No, they can't. Islam keeps women in their place. They don't want a woman coming up and saying, hey, you're a man, you can't do what I can do. They don't want this. And I think that the subjugation of women comes from the Islam way of life, not the capitalist way of life. One of the things that really bugs me is that we get something like this that comes out, and maybe our press will see it, And if they do, most likely they'd print it out as something that we are doing wrong, not as something that we are not, that we are doing right. They very seldom will ever hit that line. You know, every once in a while they will, and suddenly realize their mistake, and they'll just start realizing that no matter what we do, there are people in this world that will not like us. And I don't care what Obama and the left says about it, we will never get Islam to like us unless we completely rebel against the capitalist system and become Sharia lemmings like they want us to be. ConservativeNationMedia.com starts off the work week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans insight and most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Al-Qaeda is back in Fallujah and Ramadi, where we had defeated them recently, and everyone in the Middle East knew it. They all knew Al-Qaeda was on the ropes and that recruitment and fundraising was more difficult. And the cult of bin Laden was decidedly very much weakened. That's what happens when a messianic mass movement like Islamism loses battles and people. Folks start asking all sorts of annoying questions like, if your past victories were due to Allah's support, a demonstration of his recognition that you were sole practitioners of the right sort of Islam, what are we to make of your defeat? Has Allah abandoned you? Has he joined the Marines? Very good question. But the ebb and flow of global war in which we are so reluctantly engaged, that was a moment to be seized. Did we do that? No. Instead, our new leaders judged that it was a perfect time to walk away. They have been walking away ever since. And they had plenty of support from deep within American tradition, from the oft-fatal conviction that peace is normal and war is an aberration when the opposite defines human history. So we walked away, abandoning those who had staked their futures on America's commitment to freedom and giving hope and time to our enemies who, because we walked away, regrouped and attacked again. And I got a phone call from the 661 area code. Welcome to the show. Hello.
Hello?
Hello?
Am I on air?
Yes, you are.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about explicit jokes toward gays.
One of them is quite offensive. It's what's the difference between the refrigerator and a gay man?
Okay. I had to stop that one. We have jokes against gays, but we have explicit jokes against women. We have explicit jokes against Indians. We have explicit jokes about everything. Now, why is it just the gays that you're interested in? I mean, if you were really interested in stopping explicit jokes from one group and you were really interested in doing the right thing, you would be interested in stopping explicit jokes against everyone, not just gays. So I'm sorry I had to stop that one, but that will be the subject of another show, believe me. That one just gave me an idea on what is going on. So I'll back to what I was talking about. Folks start asking all sorts of annoying questions like, you know, about what I had mentioned about has Allah abandoned you and has he joined the Marines? You know, very good questions. But in the ebb and flow of the war, which we are so reluctantly in, did we do just what we needed when the moment was to be seized. And no, we didn't. They had plenty of support from deep within American tradition, from oft-fatal conviction that peace is normal and war is an aberration. And we walked away, abandoning those who had staked their future on America's commitment to freedom and giving hope and time to our enemies, who, because we walked away, regrouped and attacked again. Thus, Iraq, where the slaughter often exceeds the death toll in Syria, has the face of Al-Qaeda again. Thus, Syria itself and Lebanon. Al-Qaeda and others like them can now say, you see, Allah is indeed with us. We are stronger than ever, much stronger. We used to have bands of terrorists, but today we have armies. The Americans have run away from Iraq, where our flag now flies, and they are running away from Afghanistan, where the Taliban are preparing to impose God's will. The future is clear. We will win. Join us or perish, is the meaning of Fallujah. And everyone in the Middle East knows it now. These Americans can win some battles, but they do not have the stomach to win the war, something that I've been saying about the liberal machine in Washington for decades now. It's serious enough to make the deep thinkers of the White House ponder reengaging in Iraq somehow, as the Wall Street Journal reported. The rise of Islamist forces in Iraq is particularly worrisome to the Obama administration. In response, U.S. officials said Sunday that they were seeking to boost military support, though they emphasized no troops. For Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki to help his campaign to push back al-Qaeda. U.S. officials are also considering new military aid for Lebanon, which is plagued by rising sectarian violence. Easier said than done, however. It's one thing to support Maliki when we've got troops on the ground and effectively defend him against al-Qaeda and against Iran. It's quite another matter when we're just offering weapons, drones, and bombs from a distance. Maliki certainly can't defend Iraq against Iran, whatever his wishes, and indeed any assistance we give him may well end up in Tehran. Do we really want to deliver Hellfire missiles to Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei by way of Baghdad? Congress seems reluctant, and rightly so. On the other hand, if Iran can't get help from us, they'll take it from Tehran, which has happily offered to fight al-Qaeda, and probably for a price that they won't know what the price is about till it happens, and most likely none will be happy about that price. We will be right back.
80 million voters can pull the wrong lever, and it's still the wrong lever.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to tn4action.com. That's TN, the number 4, action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, action.com to stand for America now.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. And shelter pets make super pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a shelter pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
For decades, the left has run an organized campaign against Walmart, primarily because the retail giant isn't unionized, which is something that the left really wants. They want the unions to be in there so that they can make their wages go up and keep everything on their side of the aisle happy. But among the smears, the claim that Walmart employees get substandard health care plans, something that is not at all true from what I've found out. The Washington Examiner did something original and bold. They examined Walmart's health care plans and Obamacare side by side. The bottom line is sure to stun liberals. Walmart's health care plan is less expensive than Obamacare, but that's not all. Walmart employees have more health plan options than those on Obamacare do. Walmart has two standard plans for their employees. One, a lower deductible plan where employees pay more of their health, more of their out-of-pocket expenses, and two, a health reimbursement account managed by Blue Cross Blue Shield. A family can obtain coverage for about $160 a month. Walmart also offers a health savings account with high deductibles, but the employee can use tax-free dollars for coverage. Walmart employees can access some of the country's finest hospitals called Centers of Excellence. Employee family members can get free spinal and heart surgery as well as free hip and knee replacements. Obamacare costs are 5 to 9 times higher than Walmart's. They have income requirements. Walmart does not. And Obamacare doesn't have the same high-level hospitals in their network. And get this. Now, remember, this is from the Washington Examiner. Walmart furnished relevant benefit information to the Washington Examiner for comparison study, but Obamacare advocates wouldn't even provide a comment. What does that tell you? But that is not all, folks. It seems that Obama and the left do not care that there are still things out there that they can't match. Actually, there are a lot of things out there they can't match or even come close to equaling. Obamacare doesn't equal anything but bankruptcy and poverty for anyone who gets involved in it. And if Obama gets his way, and he thinks he will, this country is already in the spiral of a downward spin down the proverbial toilet. It has been flushed, and if we don't get rid of the Democrats who are in office now in the next several elections, we will not have a country left worth saving. This is the main thing that the American people have got to come to grips with. The Democrats in our government, along with some of the Republicans, you know, the real rhinos who fall in line with the Democrats at every turn, are working hard to give this nation the things it doesn't need to survive. For some reason, they all think that making our national debt bigger, catering to the terrorists in Iran, bringing the Muslim Brotherhood here, and keeping our borders open and letting illegals stream in without end is the way to go. And finally, in this mix of things comes the old standby, global warming. These are things that I mentioned are the real wars that this country is fighting, and sadly, they are being used against us in many ways. The government uses them all for distractions, and when the people start to close in and pay attention to what Obama and the left are really doing, then these things are brought out of the closet. These are the wars that Americans find themselves fighting, though no one knows they are really wars. We don't pay attention enough to know these are wars, and they are all wars, folks, that we have to win in order to save this republic from being decimated and thrown into the trash heap of history. And mark my words here, folks, that is where the liberal left and the Rhino Republicans are leading us. They may tell us different, but that is exactly where they are leading us. And they want it that way. Walmart being able to supply an insurance that is cheaper and offers more than Obamacare is something that is not going to last if Obama has his way. He wants us to pay through the nose for everything we have. Our money to him is not our money. It is his. It is his to take in any way that he sees fit. Global warming is just the latest. As he said the other day, that this really cold weather that we have been having the past few weeks is not because it has been cold. It's because the globe is so hot. My friends, that is like I said in my blog and my latest post, that is like telling everybody that the ice in the freezer is there because the air inside is so hot. How freaking stupid does he and the prostitutes in Washington think we are? Wait, I can answer that one. They think we are so stupid that we will never question their motives and why they do things. And if we do, then they will hit us with crisis after crisis to stop the intrusion into what they are doing to us. Now, do you see why I needed to bring up all the wars that are being fought against the American people by our own government? Is it any wonder we are the laughingstock of the Islamic world and the rest of the world, for that matter? And on top of that, we have a government who is catering to the Muslim Brotherhood, with at least five in the White House that belong. We need to straighten back up and bring this country back into line the way the founding fathers formed us to be, or we won't survive to see 2050. And there are so many things out here right now that could prove that to be really true if we knew about it. We have so much going on, and this week I actually found out things that I didn't know about, that we really have to start watching what's going on, because the left and many who profess to be on our side are doing everything they can to destroy what we hold dear. And so far, you know, when it comes to, like, Maki in the chat room said that, I hope it doesn't prevent you from gun purchases, or Obama is going to make it. So, I actually have a feeling that's coming if we keep falling for all the crap that Obama and the left is hitting us with. And I don't know. I watch what is going on here in the United States. I make it almost a full-time job when I'm not working, and even sometimes when I'm working, if I hear something, to find out just what is going on in this nation. And a lot of it is very disturbing, to say the least. We will be right back for messages. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. And if it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect your family and yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. All transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad that you did.
As a young teenage boy, I didn't even know what autism was. How do you even spell that? A few years later, I heard that a friend's cousin's son had been diagnosed with autism.
I still wasn't sure what that really meant.
When I went to college, my roommate's brother had autism. When I moved to the city for work, my best friend called me and told me his son had been diagnosed with autism. We were both in shock. I still remember the day I walked into the house and saw that look on my wife's face. I knew something was wrong. I'll never forget how I felt when she said, "Our son has autism."
Autism is getting closer to home. Today, 1 in 88 children is diagnosed with autism. That's a 1,000% increase in the last 40 years. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m. to give Dad his medicine. At 6 a.m., I make his breakfast. At 7 a.m., I shower. I start laundry at 8. At 10, we go for a walk. Every day, I wake up at 5 a.m.
For those dealing with the daily struggles of caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community with experts and other caregivers for advice, tips, and support. Together, let's help each other better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
This one from the Blaze Network announces that Ariel Sharon of Israel has died at 85. He was a leader who did things his way and brought Israeli military to greatness. He was always controversial in his actions, but his actions got results. And this from Jerusalem. Ariel Sharon, the hard-charging Israeli commander, general, and prime minister who was admired and hated for his battlefield exploits and ambitions to reshape the Middle East, died Saturday, 8 years after a stroke left him in a coma from which he never awoke. He was 85. As one of Israel's most famous soldiers, Sharon was known for bold tactics and an occasional refusal to obey orders. As a politician, he became known as the bulldozer, a man contemptuous of his critics while also capable of getting things done. The life and career of the main man Israelis called Arik, A-R-I-K, will be remembered for its three distinct stages, his eventful and controversial time in uniform, his years as a vociferous political operator who helped create Israel's settlement movement and masterminded the Lebanon invasion, then his successful term as a pragmatist prime minister capped by a dramatic withdrawal from the Gaza Strip and curtailed at the height of his popularity by his sudden stroke. The Gaza pullout culminated in gradual abandonment of hardline policies for which he was known. In the tumultuous summer of 2005, he pulled all of Israel's settlers and soldiers out of the seaside strip, having played a key role in putting them there in the first place. The fate of Netzarim is the fate of Tel Aviv, Sharon had famously said, referring to a Gaza settlement just 3 years earlier. Characteristically, the move was unilateral. Sharon was dubious that much good can come from talks with the Palestinians. Sharon painted his disengagement plan as a step to reduce friction between Israelis and Palestinians. Of course, that probably didn't help any, but it was accompanied by the construction of a massive separation barrier in the West Bank. While presented as many security measures, they also represented an admission of sorts that continued control of the fast-growing Palestinian population could threaten Israel's Jewish and democratic character. A few months later, he left the hawkish, looted party, which he helped found, and created the centrist Kadima, C-A-D-I-M-A, as a vehicle for himself, planning to lead it to third election victory. But a few months later, 77 years old and considerably overweight, he suffered two strokes. The second one in 2006 left him comatose and in a Jerusalem hospital. His deputy, Ehud Olmert, became prime minister and led Kadima to victory in the election. He was a brave soldier and daring leader who loved his nation, and his nation loved him, President Shimon Peres, a longtime friend and rival of Sharon, said Saturday, using Sharon's nickname. He was one of Israel's great protectors and most important architects who knew no fear and certainly never feared vision. Ariel Sharon was born in to Russian immigrant parents on February 26, 1928, in the small farming community of Kfar Malal, north of Tel Aviv. He joined the Haganah, a pre-state Jewish defense force, at 14, and later went on to command infantry platoon during the 1948 Mideast War over Israel's creation. By 1953, he was commanding a unit, unit number 101, a commando force formed to carry out reprisals for Arab attacks. After the slaying of an Israeli woman and her two children, his troops blew up more than 40 houses in Qibya, Q-I-B-Y-A, a West Bank village then ruled by Jordan, killing 69 Arabs, most or all of them civilians. 3 years later, after Israel's invasion of the Sinai Peninsula, Sharon was rebuked for engaging in what his commanders regarded as an unnecessary battle with Egyptian forces, in which some 30 Israeli soldiers died, but accolades mounted as well. His highest hour in uniform, as he described it, came after Egypt and Syria attacked Israel in the 1973 Mideast War. Sharon was brought out of retirement by an army desperate for leadership and commanded 27,000 Israelis in a daring drive across the Suez Canal, an operation that turned the tide of the fighting. A photograph of a boyish 45-year-old Sharon, a bloody bandage around his head, remains one of the most enduring images of that war. Sharon, who lived on a ranch in southeastern Israel, was widowed twice. His second wife was a sister of his first, who died in a car accident. He is survived by two sons. A third died as a child in a firearms accident in 1967, and I find out anything about that. But it seems that he lasted actually quite a while after his strokes that left him comatose for quite a while, but he died at the age of 85, and that's almost 8 years after his stroke that put him in the hospital. So he's gone now, so I guess we don't have to, we can see just what happens now in Israel. Hopefully they won't count of anything and just become people like our Barack Obama are, who doesn't want to defend themselves against anything coming. But I guess that's the way it goes, I suppose. I'm a little bit ahead of time right now, but that's kind of different from earlier when I was way over what I should have done. But I'll go ahead and get my next message out. ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design. Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, tomorrow evening. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher Sundays tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. Last week marks the 50th anniversary of Lyndon Johnson's poverty, war on poverty. And as the joke goes, poverty won. Five decades after a blizzard of programs began descending on the American people, the poverty rate remains essentially unchanged. But that's a little unfair. What counts as poverty today would not have seemed so impoverished 50 years ago, when many of the poor lived without electricity and were no strangers to hunger. Today, the biggest health problems of the poor are more likely to stem from obesity than anything approaching starvation. Defenders of the war on poverty, the massive bureaucracy that has built up around it, insist that underfunding is to blame. That's a tough sell. The Heritage Foundation's Robert Rector estimates that we've spent $20 trillion on these programs, not counting Medicare and Social Security. We spent $1 trillion to $2 trillion more every year, depending on how you do the math. But apparently for liberals, that's still too stingy. Perhaps the problem isn't how much we're spending, but how we're spending it. If you drew a Venn diagram of where the hard left and libertarian right agreed, the overlapping shaded part would include a bunch of social issues, gay marriage, drug legalization, etc., but almost no economic issues, save one, the universal basic income. The UBI is a pretty simple idea. Everyone gets a check from the government. Actually, it's a little more compensated than depending on how you implement it, but you get the idea. Charles Murray, a colleague of the American Enterprise Institute and a legendary librarian social scientist, wrote a wonderful book a few years ago called In Our Hands, in which he proposed an annual grant from the federal government of $10,000 for every American over 21 who stayed out of jail and still had a pulse. He was building on arguments made by the two titans of libertarianism, Friedrich Hayek and Milton Friedman, who also supported some version of the UBI. On the left, the idea has been popular for generations as a way to instantaneously alleviate poverty and defeat the old devil of income inequality. So what's the catch? Why aren't we getting a fat check from Uncle Sam every month? Some cite the cost, which obviously would be hefty, but that's a secondary problem. The real sticking point is that the libertarian argument is largely an either-or proposition, while a left-wing version is a both-and deal. The libertarians want to liquidate much of the welfare state and convert it into cash payments. The left's version is that the money would, for the most part, augment the welfare state. Well, here's what both of them are forgetting. The government has no money without taxing us. And say, what if the people that we have working here in the United States suddenly decided en masse that we don't want to work anymore? You can't get taxes from somebody who doesn't work. Okay, where would the government get its money then? Because if people aren't working and they're not getting a paycheck, they're not being taxed, because the government can't come in and say, okay, you made this much money, I get this much of it. You don't get a paycheck, you don't get taxed that way. The only way that you get taxed then is if you go to a store and buy something. But then again, I think if people were going to do something like what I just suggested, which is kind of radical anyway, they would also figure out a way to grow their own food or something on those lines, which would take more of the power away from the government. We will be right back for the final segment of the show after these messages.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared, it's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs. I start to cough. Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking. It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Whoa.
The moment my son saw a redwood tree.
It's huge!
Is the moment I knew that for him.
You can't even see the top of that thing!
Even the sky has no limit.
There are some moments only the forest can inspire. Find yours at discovertheforest.org. Learn about forests near you and discover cool things to do when you go. Your moment is out there. Find it at discovertheforest.org.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Finally, we here at New Wise Conservatism Radio Show want to leave you with our weekly thought of the day. This one actually was a little hard for me to come up with because I had so many things to think about that any one of them could have been a good one. But I have been struck with a new thing that I have been following along with the Muslim Brotherhood, and that is signs of something big happening here in the United States, and that isn't good. Signs of it are everywhere, and yet fully 96% of Americans are not fully awake to this yet. We have our national debt soaring to unimaginable heights, and yet the government keeps telling us that it has gone down, and they say with complete conviction, even though they know that what they are saying isn't true. We have had our AAA rating, credit rating lowered for the first time in our history under this president, and yet that doesn't seem to matter. I think it has been considered being lowered again. I'm not sure, but I think that it has I think it's been considered anyway. Under the Bush administration, that would have been front page news and something that needed to be fixed, and now we are not hearing anything about that in the media and our government. Why? We have seen 26 of our once bustling cities here in America going bankrupt for the first time in history. The media and our government is ignoring this like it is the plague. Why? Warren Buffett and other billionaires are now dumping U.S. stock as fast as they can sell it, and no one is asking. Why? Germany, Switzerland, and Denmark are in the process now of pulling all their gold out of the United States of America, and no one is paying any attention to this one either. Russia, China, and Brazil are now quickly working to create a new central bank with only one purpose, and that is to replace the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency of the world. This, again, is something that our media and our government is totally keeping silent in hopes, I guess, that the people don't hear about it. Why? And why are they keeping silent about it? Because they know that what will come if things don't change, they know it's something that will come if things don't change, and they figure that if no one knows about it, it will go away. I am here to tell you, if the government doesn't change the way it's doing things so that this sort of collapse of the economy doesn't happen, it will happen. They keep painting rosy pictures about how the economy is getting better and how unemployment has gone down to around 7%, which, by the way, it hasn't. There are many ways to check this one out. You get the government's U6 numbers on unemployment, and you will see it is really around 13 or 14%. Because when a person who is unemployed stops looking for work because he can't find work or drops off the unemployment rolls of the government that the government keeps, then when someone is out of work, like I was for almost 9 months, and I don't collect unemployment or go to a government agency that will help me find work, they don't consider me either. During about 6 of the 8 months or 9 months that I was out of work, I was not even considered part of the unemployed by the government. I was denied unemployment and didn't try for it again. I looked for jobs from the papers, want ads, and did a lot of shoe leather burning to get to places that I wanted to go to so I could fill out applications. According to the government, I was employed. And I am not the only one out here that is that way. The reasons that the government and the media are not talking of these things I have just talked about is because they know that when this collapse happens that they won't talk about, there'll be no food, no safe drinking water, and probably no money. Social chaos will probably rule over our society, and those caught unprepared will be the first to go. So instead of preparing a population for what surely will happen if things don't change drastically, they keep silent and hope for the best by lying to the people about how bad things are, about how things really aren't as bad as everybody is saying. But we do have people working to change the way things are done in Washington, and we have things happening all over America that are intended to wake people up to what is coming if change doesn't come soon. And no, I am not saying that I have a change we can all believe in like Barack Obama lied about when running for president. This is a change that we have to make in order to survive as a nation, folks. We can pretend that nothing happens and walk away, but that doesn't solve the problems that this nation is now facing. We can sit back and rely on the government, but why would we do that when it is the government that has gotten us into this mess in the first place? They can't even help themselves because they are ignoring the things that have happened over the last decades and more. But what is going on may start us back on the right path. We Americans who are waking up to the terrors that our government is ignoring and beginning to take matters into our own hands, we are doing rallies like the one that we have coming for Conservative Nation Media in April in Tennessee and one in Dearborn, Michigan in June. People are up in arms, and happily we have a few more constitutional conservatives out there too, like Ted Cruz and Mike Lee. We need to change the direction that America is being led, or this nation will, and I am not scaremongering here, will cease to exist as a world power and a great helper of the world. America is the greatest last ideal for free mankind, and once America is gone, that help for freedom will be gone pretty much forever. I do not want to doom my children and their children to that kind of life. It would be like taking a child who is soft and easily hurt back to the dark ages. I will not willingly go in that direction. We need to vote out of office all the Barack Obamas and Hillary Clintons and the John McCains and the Lindsey Grahams. We need to get rid of the Harry Reids and the Nancy Pelosis. We need to get rid of any politician whose personal agenda does not fit the laws of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, period. We are a nation of laws, not of men who ignore laws because they decide they want to come up with some new law to replace it, like our president does daily, like Nancy Pelosi does, like Harry Reid does. It is time to get rid of them, all of them, who do things just because it is the status quo and the way Washington does it. That is not the America I want to live in. I am an American conservative constitutional patriot, and I'm afraid for my great nation under God. I know that traditional conservative Americans will agree with me on that one. And economics, oh, that one scares me to death, because right now the Democrats are in charge of that one. And I am glad that everyone who came in and everyone who's listening, not in the chat room, and everyone who's in the chat room, I'm glad you guys were here today. We are heading towards the end of the show now, and so I will go into the part that I do every week, We're going to talk about the other shows that Conservative Nation Media has on Sundays. We have American by Design with Uncle Bing Fisher. With his engineer's insight and love of America, this show could really bring you some great ideas and ideals for what America is and what America should be. This show airs Sunday evening, that's tomorrow, at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central. On Monday, we have Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. Dave is a great way to start off the work week with his veterans' insight and most informative guests to bring you another great show to listen to on Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central. Tuesdays, we have two shows, A Just Cause with Sam Thurman and Cliff Stewart. There is nothing more outrageous to an American to think about than to find out about an innocent being convicted of a crime that they didn't commit when the wheels of justice. These two give you an insight into the dark side of our judicial system at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Also on Tuesdays is the Grit and Grace radio show with Jennifer Meadows. She has been carrying the conservative message on the net for years now, and she is here on conservativenationmedia.com on Tuesdays after A Just Cause at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central. On Wednesdays, we have our leader with great radio voice, Duke Brooks, with his show, Radio Free America. Our man Duke has hanger-flying right-wing politics and American history that is always interesting and fun to listen to. On Thursdays is Community and Constitution, the Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Opalisky. His expertise on the Constitution will give you great information to continue the fight for this country as the war that is being waged against us. It airs Thursdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. And Fridays, yesterday, we have the Daily Roll Call with Kathy Hinners, a retired law enforcement officer who served her community in New York State for many years and now serves America by keeping a watchful eye out for the troublemakers in this nation and the world, like the Muslim Brotherhood. And she's actually the one that's got me interested in what they are doing. And what I found out is scary, to say the least. And that's on Fridays at 8 p.m. Eastern and 7 Central. She always has great information for us to have. And Saturdays, of course, you are treated with my show, the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, with yours truly, the infidel with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. All this on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And don't forget the coming events that we have coming for traditional Americans with Save the Constitution rallies that are coming in a few months in April in Tennessee, and in June in Dearborn, Michigan. This nation is worth saving, and I hope more and more Americans wake up to the fact that she does indeed need saving. Thank you for listening, my friends. See you all again next week. Until then, God bless you all. God bless you all.